This is Humpty and Canty. Weekdays at 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.
Mike, I'm a huge fan of yours. Apparently, Rick DiPietro is a little bit frustrated that you never went to a hockey game within this season.
Oh, my goodness. I was literally thinking about that today. I was just a wee bit busy. I definitely want to take him up on that. My wife is actually probably more upset at me than anything else, quite frankly, because she is a Canadian, and I mean, although she loves football, sure, she does love hockey too, so I apologize for that. That's definitely on my bucket list of things to do still, Rick. I apologize.
No, listen, I mean, there's only a short window now with, you know, the Rangers and the Islanders not making the playoffs, so I understand it. Listen, you made the pick. It was a great pick. Now, moving forward, we should have some time now to catch a hockey game, hopefully.
Yes, that is true. That is true.
Was this an easy pick for you? When Mayfield went one and then the Giants took Barkley, were you literally like running up to the podium screaming Sam Darnold?
I think when it kind of unfolded, and it's funny, going through this process many times, I always tell people things happen that you don't expect. It's, you know, every NFL draft has that. Now, sometimes the first few picks kind of play out, and like as you get closer to it, you have a feel for like how it's going to fall. Every once in a while, there's a little surprise here or there. This was interesting. I've mentioned this to some other people. Like, I felt it was a little like previous drafts when Leo fell to us, you know, maybe 3-4 days out or 5 days out, we sort of had some grumblings based on how teams were sort of, you know, what they needed, who they liked, that he may be available for us at 6, and kind of the same thing kind of happened with Jamal when he came out. This year, really until the day of the draft, we sort of always had heard, you know, had been under the impression and heard a lot of different, you know, things rumbling, but we always, you know, kind of felt, hey, it was going to be Sam at the top, and that's kind of what we thought, and then we always heard rumors if, you know, he got the 2, maybe the Giants would take him or trade him or, you know, maybe take another player, which they obviously like Saquon quite a bit, and we knew that. So, really, when it all kind of unfolded the morning of, we kept on, you know, thinking, hey, this may be a possibility, but until the picks come off the board, you know, you really don't know what's going to happen. And when it fell that way for us, we were very excited. It's funny. I tend to be a very calm person, and I was calm that day. Internally you're quite excited, but you know, externally you're just doing through your normal process. But it was pretty clear when he was there and available. We were very, very happy about that, and you know, it was an easy decision for us to make.
So, Mike, to that point, you didn't know what was going to happen until the day of the draft and the picks actually started coming off the board. Yet you made the move from 6 to 3 weeks in advance, knowing that you were targeting a quarterback. What made that the right decision, not knowing what quarterbacks were going to be available when you picked number 3?
Well, you know, you ever see that movie Draft Day, Chris, where Kevin Costner kind of takes a little stick-em note after, you know, puts it in his pocket, and I'm just joking around. when we made the trade, I literally did that. I wrote on a little thing. It's like, all right, put it in my pocket. If this one happens, then so be it. No. When we made the trade, so we went back, and I spent a lot of time talking, first and foremost, we've done quite a bit of work on this draft class, you know, starting from last spring. And, you know, so really when we got to that point, you know, we went into free agency with our plan. You know, obviously we pursued Kirk Cousins, you know, and we didn't, you know, weren't able to, you know, he didn't sign with us. He signed with Minnesota. But we quite quickly knew, kind of what the other plan was to be a little proactive. You know, we paid a pretty good price to go move up to 3. But we also felt as you get closer to the draft or when you're on the clock and players start sliding, especially in a draft with a lot of quarterbacks, potentially high picks, we knew the price, you know, could be much higher going forward. And I really wanted to hold on to my 1, quite frankly, next year, because even if we give up our 2 next year like we did, there's always a chance you can recoup that if you trade back and, you know, can recoup your 2 even next year. If that's what we decide to do. So all that being said, as we made the decision, I literally went, you know, after it was the early part of free agency, I went out to a couple of pro days. I think everybody's made or was aware of. I went to, you know, Oklahoma and UCLA, and really felt very good about the move to 3 and felt very good that there's going to be a good player there for us. I mean, obviously Sam, you know, was a possibility, although we kind of thought that was more unlikely at the time. But you never know. Like, we felt really good with the players we potentially have there at 3 to pick. So we felt good about the trade, made the trade, and moved forward. So that's kind of how it really unfolded.
Listen, the fact that you were able to save next year's first-round draft pick, you can't give up. I mean, listen, you can't give up enough, in my opinion, if you identify. If Sam Darnold turns out to be, I mean, he's only 20 years old now, he'll be 21 years old. If he turns out to be our franchise quarterback for the next 15 years, you couldn't have given up enough to get him. So congratulations on that pick. And I want to ask you this, because Baker Mayfield did go first overall, and we had these conversations on the show. I said, you know, if Baker Mayfield was 6'3", 6'4", he's the consensus number one overall pick. Like, he's the best quarterback in college football. Is there starting to be now with what you guys are getting, you know, from the college game on the offensive line, and it's not that easy anymore to identify those guys or have plug-and-play guys, is there starting to be a change in philosophy of how you look at the quarterback position? Like, are you necessarily that focused on all the measurables as you were in the past?
No, well, I think you still are. I mean, you take a lot of things into consideration. Obviously, you know, the measurables are part of it in terms of size and stature, and a lot of that really, quite frankly, goes back to kind of the history of players that are in the league and how they've performed over time. And of course, when you know, there's an average in terms of what guys fall into. And then, for example, like, guys sometimes are outliers. They are either, you know, outside those parameters, and a lot of times you go in and start analyzing, like, what makes the ones that have been very successful, and we did quite a bit of that in our process of evaluating Baker and, you know, comparing him, you know, looking at other players like, you know, Russell Wilson and Drew Brees and amongst others that have gone into the league and been successful. So you do try to, you do take those things into consideration. But, you know, all that being said, we thought Baker was a very good prospect himself in his own right. But I think the one thing you find a little bit now more so is, you know, sometimes with the colleges playing a lot more spread offenses and not as much sometimes pro-style concepts. But even our league, for example, we play more out of the gun now than we've progressively been taking more snaps as a league as a whole over the last few years, really from maybe 10, 15 years ago. We did studies for the number of times that, you know, quarterbacks under center or working out of the gun, and it started at one point in time, I think it was in the 50% range, and now, shoot, we're trending anywhere from like around the 70% range, just because that's how the game's evolved. So the colleges are a little, you know, they play maybe a little, you know, more of that style of offense, but the league as a whole, we're trending that way too. So you look at a player like Baker, you know, I don't necessarily think it's, you know, again, he may fall outside the you know, be a bit of an outlier in terms of his size and stature, but he's a very good quarterback, and of course, a lot of things that they did in college, you know, you can, you know, we do some of the same concepts in the league now, so it should may not be as much of a transition for a guy like that to the league, quite frankly.
Well, Jets GM Mike Maccagnan joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. We all know that you're going to, you know, try to be pushed into, not that you guys will fall for it, but fans are going to want to see Sam Darnold probably sooner rather than later. Is there a plan in place right now that you have said he's going to redshirt? We're definitely not going to play him for quite a while. Is there a quarterback plan in place right now as we head towards the 2018 season?
Yeah, I think, you know, I know the coaches, and we've talked about this, the coaches have, I think, a very good plan in place, and as Todd has said already, after the draft, you know, he's going to have every opportunity. We're going to throw him in there and let him kind of, you know, go out there, take reps, you know, see how he does. We're not going to necessarily throw him to the fire. That's not our plan. But in the end, if, you know, it really depends on how fast he comes along, he's going to get every opportunity, and how quickly he transitions to the league and is ready to play, then Todd and the coaches will make that determination. But we do have a plan in place, and we feel pretty good about it going forward. We have a lot of football to be played this spring and even in training camp before we get to that point in time. But, you know, he's going to have ample opportunities to go out there and, you know, grow, develop, and perform.
Mike, you went out in free agency and you signed Teddy Bridgewater and you brought Josh McCown back. You currently have five quarterbacks on the roster. Is this going to be a situation where the guys on the back end of that depth chart are going to have to compete for a job on this team?
Well, I think, like everything, like, you know, we have some decisions to make there that we're aware of, and you know, that's going to play itself out here over time here in the near future. But yeah, it's like everything else that, you know, the decisions we have to make. We feel pretty good, like, I think, going into this, and when we had the opportunity to add, you know, add Teddy and obviously bring back Josh, you know, both those are good, you know, good guys and good players, and you know, really, like everything we do, we try to make decisions that either make the position as competitive as possible and gives us good options and choices to make. So we feel pretty good about our situation right now, and we'll see how it all unfolds as we go forward.
Mike, I know there's conflicting reports coming out of Minnesota as far as Teddy Bridgewater's health is concerned. What are your expectations, legitimate expectations for him as you guys get closer and closer to training camp?
Well, you know, I don't necessarily like to comment on, you know, where players are. You know, I know Teddy is out there throwing with our, you know, first, you know, this is the first week of the players and the coaches on the field. So, you know, when the reporters eventually get in here, they'll have a chance to see him throw and op in function. We have a plan for him when we signed him and we brought him in and kind of saw where he was physically. And, you know, I think we have a good plan in place and we're going to bring him along and he's going to have an opportunity and, we're kind of excited to see how he does. But so far, you know, everything is on schedule and we feel good about it. He's definitely going to get a chance to play, perform, and we'll see it all unfolds.
Mike, enough talk about quarterbacks. I'm tired of quarterbacks. Let's get to the guys that hit the quarterbacks.
The defensive line.
Exactly. He made the decision to give Leonard Williams his fifth-year option at $14 million in 2019. Is this a situation now where you consider extending him sooner rather than later, knowing that with each new defensive lineman deal, it's going to become a little bit more expensive?
Yeah, I think with anything in regards to contracts, I generally don't speak publicly about them. But yes, Leonard or Leo is a player we obviously think very highly of, and then that will work itself out over time. And our goal, like a lot of players, is with Leo, is he's a cornerstone player for us, and we'll figure we'll work something out here in time. So, but that'll work itself out over time.
Mike, if you have any update for us as Jets fans on the status of Robbie Anderson moving forward, do you guys know if he's going to get suspended or not yet?
Yeah, the league does their process, and I think they kind of wait for the legal process to work itself out. I know one of the things, I think one of the cases may have been, some of the charges have been, dismissed or moved on from. But, there's still some things out there, and it's still a pending legal matter, so I'm not necessarily going to weigh in on that. But the league conducts their policy and their process, and, they take, we work with them or, comply with whatever they need, but they make their determination. They let us know in due course what they decide to do. But, like with every player, when they do things off the field, I mean, they're at the risk of, the league, disciplining them. So that's kind of a process that all the players are exposed to. And, again, we'll see how that unfolds.
Mike, what's your expectations for Quincy Enunwa coming off of the neck injury from last season?
Again, Quincy is doing very well, and I think everything so far has been real positive. And, we expect Quincy back out there this, this spring, but also in training camp, and we'll see how he does. But everything with him has been, on schedule and very positive. So we're excited to get him back out there. That was, when we lost him last year, that was kind of a big blow to us. Of course, bringing in Jermaine Kearse kind of helped quite a bit. But again, it's a young group of receivers, and Quincy's not an old player by any stretch. So we're kind of excited to see how those guys do out there. But he's doing very well.
All right, before we let you go, I need to know this because we had your coach on the show a couple different times. How quickly did Todd Bowles pop open to the Chips Ahoy after you guys picked Sam Darnold in that draft?
I don't actually have a stopwatch on me, but no, you may have to ask Todd that one. I wasn't. I was a little preoccupied. I quite may have lost the exact amount of time that took. But no, Todd, myself, and the rest of the organization was very very excited, very happy when that we had the opportunity to add Sam, and we're just excited to see how he does when he gets in here this week and with all the other rookies. So
I could just imagine you make that pick. Todd Bowles, feet on the desk. Little Gladys Knight.
Gladys!
Pop open those Chips Ahoy. What a day.
Yeah, it was a good day. So it was a good day.
Well, listen, congratulations on Jets fans are very excited about this new quarterback, very excited about this football team. Hopefully we get a chance to come visit you over the summer out in Florham Park, and we appreciate a couple minutes.
Oh, absolutely. Love to have you guys out here. So anytime you guys want to come, let us know.
Thanks for listening to Humpty and Canty. Catch them weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.